my hammer, bang the world in the shape, now let it fall.
Hey, good day, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, speaking to you on a postal issue today. Today, I want to talk to you and try to prepare you on how to become aggressive in a response to the Postal Service's concept of resizing almost every post office. And today, I am particularly talking about the LPCs. Now, quick summary or synopsis of the LPC concept. PMG CEO Louis DeJoy, he's recommended and he's already implementing restructuring of your postal service. There are three levels that he's going to concern himself with, and that is your regional level, a local level, then you've got levels of individual units processing packages, and particularly working on the small delivery unit sorter.
So the three levels that the post office will have for processing for all mail delivery is going to be the RPDC, which will be your regional levels. There's going to be 60 of those. Then you have the LPCs, which is your local levels. They're going to process designated mail and transfer mail. Then you're going to have the SNDCs, 4 to 5 SNDCs going to support each region. So understand those are the three levels. Let's continue the podcast.
Now, I want to say this first. I don't know what your union is doing about the conversion, or let me rephrase that. I don't know how they're addressing that, because if it is the way I think it is, and let me remind everyone I am retired, if it's the way I think it is, then they're going to sit back and allow the post office to reshape the postal service, moving and inconveniencing hundreds of postal employees. But the bottom line is their dues stays the same. Yeah, I'm just going to let that sit on you for a minute. Postal management, a move of this size, probably already set aside millions of dollars because they know they're going to have to pay because they're not doing it correctly. That's just my prognostication based on over 35 years of postal service. So today I want to address the employees, the people who are going to be affected. Because remember, Postal Service is not going to be affected. Your union leadership, it's not going to be affected. So I want to talk to those who this is going to affect directly. Listen, you have to get active in your union. Now, I understand I just told you that they're probably going to sit by and wait for the reactionary card, but you have to push them. And when I say push, you have to motivate them. You have to let your union leadership know that this matters to you. I want to ask the question. Again, we're talking about local processing centers. If you are, and I use for an example the facility I know best, Columbus, where I just retired from. If you go into Columbus, based on the structure of what is proposed for LPCs, you're going to take out the apps, a universal sorter, two bundle sorters, and the TMS, as you know it, will no longer exist because we're only doing designating mail. Did you hear what I said? You're going to lose this equipment. And each one of those, probably by a true compliment, each one of those machines probably in excess of 20 people. But you know what? Inside your facility, you have a document called a RI-199 or 399. It delineates on who or what craft owns what bit of work in the post office. I want to
introduce you to another fact. When the post office buys equipment, new machines, and I have to give you this historical data so you understand where I'm trying to lead you to. When the post office buys new equipment, they buy that with union consent on it. You know, they don't just bring that equipment in. They are obligated to talk to the unions about that. Now, one of the things that should be talked about is what is going to be your complement for this equipment. When the post office buys new equipment, you ever notice when it's a new piece of equipment comes in, they do what is called a burn-in. They staff that equipment the way it is supposed to be staffed, the way it is intended to be staffed. And the only reason I'm telling you this, because if you've ever seen this happen, as soon as the burn-in is over, the personnel who built that equipment and monitor it, when they're gone, the first thing the post office does is change the number of people they assign to that piece of equipment. Now, the only reason why I want you to understand that is when they introduced that equipment to your union, they introduced it with this complement. So now the union buys into that. And once it's changed forever, because nobody goes back and says, hey, wait a minute. You just bought a apps machine and you told, now this should be the union talking. It's not, but it should be. Hey, Mr. Post Office, Mrs. Post Office, however you want to call it. We agreed that when this apps came into the Postal Service as one of their packaging processing systems, that the staff was 25. Now, you operate that equipment on maybe 9 to 13 people. What happened to the complement that you said you would put with that? See, that conversation, to the best of my knowledge, that don't take place. But now it is important that that comes back into play. Because if the post office has a piece of equipment that's got a required complement of 8, they use 3. So now before you access me, and trust me, I'm just giving you my prognostication. Before you access me, you got to make sure that you're up to what is the proposed staff and not your actual staff. Does that make sense? Another quick example to try to clarify my point. The clerks that are going to be displaced, for lack of a better word, from your bundle sorters. Well, before you send me out of the building, we want to make sure that you've got a staff that is sufficient enough to carry 2 mail processors on a delivery barcode sorter with enough to cover for vacations and holidays. Now, that might sound funny, but again, if you are a mail processor in Columbus, Ohio, you know all too well about processing with one person. I don't care about sick calls. I'm not talking about vacations. You process mail one person on a machine quite often. Well, now, before you start to excess out of the building, let's revisit that complement. Because, see, right now, if your unions got engaged in complement verification, see, it will reduce the number of people that might have to get displaced. And I do say might have to get displaced to another postal facility. I say to the personnel on the APW side who represents maintenance, before you move mechanics out of the building, you got to now check to make sure that you have a sufficient amount of people based on the requirements. Based on if it takes 3 hours to do a machine, whatever you do to it, then you have to make sure that you're not assigning mechanics 4 machines at 3 hours each.
and hoping it gets done, or knowing it's going to get done because it's not going to get done correctly. See, this is where unions now seem to get, or should be, over anxious to get involved and to start this process, because trust and believe, it's going to save a lot of people the headache, the displeasure of being reassigned to another building tour, or maybe even another city. You got to remember that we are service oriented. That's the mission statement. That's the base. Now, a lot of people try to make it different. So when you address compliment, maybe you might want to send some of your personnel with POSU blessings, of course, to observe some of these machines. You might find that the compliment needs to be adjusted. Now, once again, I'm just throwing concepts into the air, and if anybody in any union headquarters hears it and likes it, well, grab it and hold on to it. Again, a different way to approach something. But I think right now that if your unions, and I really hope they do hear the podcast, get mad about the podcast, and then take action to benefit their members, that would be the best of all. Well, the best of both worlds would be they hear the podcast and like the podcast, and then they took action. But nonetheless, you have to find a way, or look for ways, that's going to minimize, because they're going to make the conversions. The regionals, the locals, that's going to happen. So unions, how can you minimize the negative effect it's going to have on your members? Because there's folks, listen to me, if they follow my advice word for word, there's still going to be, for lack of a better phrase, collateral damage. Some people are going to get moved that don't want to move. That's going to happen. And when you have a move this size, you got to expect that. But how do we minimize that? How do we minimize that? And one of the ways is you got to get in touch with your unions through phone calls, letters, whatever you do to get in touch with them. And you got to let them know that there's some areas that they ought to look at before the post office starts moving and displacing their members. Now, don't be surprised if you make that appeal to them, and you got to make that appeal about 10 times before they get the message. But right now, you think about one thing. If you don't put the extra energy into at least having this move addressed and minimizing the damage it's going to do to postal employees, then you sit back. And if you work in Columbus and now they want you to work in Cincinnati, enjoy the ride. Get active. At least know what's happening, because if the post office is doing it, history tells us they're probably doing it wrong, and we need to be on the right side, and let's fight now so the battle won't be as used come October or November, whenever they make the move. It's Kenny Hodge on the podcast, doing what I do, trying to keep you in the know.